Ever try explaining to someone like why your computer is just like slower than I don't know.
Slower than.
Yeah, like way slower than, I don't know, it's just like ridiculously slow, you know? You wouldn't pull out a stopwatch and be like, it takes exactly 10.32 seconds to open this file, man.
You could, but
It's just it wouldn't really, you know, get the point
yeah, it
across.
wouldn't have the same impact.
Exactly. You'd probably say something like, ugh, this thing's slower than molasses in January. And believe it or not, that's kind of what we're doing today, with this whole big O notation thing.
We're diving into the world of algorithm speed.
Right. So we're gonna be like diving deep into how computer scientists, they actually measure how fast or slow algorithms are. But instead of using like, you know, milliseconds or whatever, they use this whole
It's a
system,
system.
that tells you like how an algorithm's performance. It changes when you start throwing more data at it, you know?
Yeah. Like if you have a little bit of data, it might be fine. But what happens when you have a ton of data?
Right, exactly. So it's kind of like it's not just about how fast it is right now, but how much slower does it get as the data gets bigger and
It's
bigger.
like having a secret decoder ring for efficiency, you know? And
Well, I like that.
our guidebook for this deep dive is going to be the Wikipedia article on Big O notation.
Okay, awesome. So let's crack this code. What does big O even mean? Like, I've seen it written as O-N or
Nah.
O-N too.
But what's with all the letters and the numbers? It's a bit intimidating.
It looks a little mathy,
Yeah.
but it's really not as scary as it seems.
Okay, good.
It's like, imagine you're planning a road trip, right?
You don't necessarily need to know the exact number of miles to every single rest stop and detour you might take along the way.
Right.
You just want a general idea of like how long it'll take you to get to your destination.
Right, like is it a quick hop across town or is this like a multi-day trek across the country?
Exactly. And that's kind of what Big O notation does for algorithms. It gives us that same high-level view. It tells us how the runtime of an algorithm grows as the input size, which we represent with n, by the way,
Okay.
as n increases. How does that runtime change?
Okay, so if an algorithm has a big O notation of ON, does that mean the runtime increases like at the same rate as the input size?
You got it. That's exactly right. We call that linear time.
Linear time. Okay.
Think of it like waiting in line at the grocery store, right?
Okay. Yeah.
If every single customer takes like 1 minute to check out,
Right.
then two customers are going to take 2 minutes, three customers, 3 minutes, and so on.
Yeah.
So the wait time is increasing linearly with the number of customers.
Okay. That makes sense. But what about those notations with exponents, like the ON2? That's where I start to get a little
Okay,
lost.
yeah. So imagine now you're not just waiting in line.
Okay.
You also have to like go down the line and greet every single person.
Oh no, that's a lot of handshakes.
Right. So the more people in line, the more greetings you're going to have to do. And those greetings, they start adding up really quickly.
Yeah, that's a lot of greetings.
And that's the essence of OM2. The runtime grows proportionally to the square of the input size.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get it. So this big O notation, it helps us compare different algorithms without getting bogged down in all the nitty-gritty details of like how many milliseconds something takes, right?
Right, exactly. It's like we don't need to know the exact miles per gallon of two different cars to know which one is going to be better on gas for a long trip.
It's about the bigger picture, like comparing a sports car to a minivan.
Exactly. And the Wikipedia article actually uses a really good example to illustrate this whole idea with a mathematical function.
Okay.
It's f xx equals 6 by 4, 2 by 3 plus 5.
Wait a minute, hold on. I thought we were talking about algorithms, not going back to algebra class.
Don't worry, I promise this relates directly to what we're
Yeah.
talking about. Stick with me.
Okay. You've piqued my curiosity. So like, how does this function thing, how does that tie back into algorithms and like how efficient they are?
Well, remember how we were saying, like, we can use big O to describe how an algorithm's runtime changes as the input size changes?
Yeah.
Well, we can actually use it to describe how a mathematical function's output grows as its input, which in this case is x increases.
Okay, so are we talking about like the runtime of the function? Is that.
You can kind of think of it that way,
Yeah.
yeah. Because in Big O notation, what we're really interested in is the dominant term. So, like, the term that really takes over as the input gets super large.
Okay, so in that equation you gave, the 6 by 4, 2 by 3, 3, 5, the dominant term would be that 6 by 4, right?
Exact.
Because as x gets huge, those other terms, they don't really matter as much.
Yeah, they become practically insignificant. It's like comparing the size of, I don't know, the Earth to a basketball.
Right,
The
yeah.
basketball size, it just becomes like negligible when you're thinking about the grand scheme of things.
Right.
So we'd say that that function has a big O notation of OS4.
Okay.
Because that's the term that's really driving the growth as X gets bigger.
That makes sense. So when we're analyzing algorithms, we're doing basically the same thing. We're trying to find like that dominant term that tells us how the performance is going to scale as the data gets bigger.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. This is pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah. So the Wikipedia article, it also mentions this whole thing about like different orders of functions.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Okay. So think of these orders as like a ranking system for how efficient algorithms are.
Okay.
And the Wikipedia article actually has a super helpful table.
Oh, yeah.
That lists some of the most common ones.
Orders of commie functions.
Exactly. And they go all the way from the incredibly efficient like O1 to the somewhat alarming ON.
Yeah, I see that O1. What is the deal with that? It sounds almost too good to be true.
O1 is like the holy grail of algorithm efficiency.
Okay.
It basically means no matter how absolutely massive your input size gets, the algorithm's runtime is going to stay the same.
Wow.
It's like instantaneous.
So are there any algorithms that like actually do that in the real world, or is that like just theoretical?
You actually encounter it more often than you might think.
Yeah.
Imagine like you have a super neatly organized bookshelf and you need to find a specific book. Well, if you know exactly where it is on that shelf, finding that book is going to be really quick.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how many other books are on the shelf.
Yeah.
It's still going to take you the same amount of time.
Because you know exactly where to go.
Right. That's O1, instant access. Doesn't matter how big your bookshelf is.
That's a good analogy. It's like having that like old school library card catalog, and you can look up any book and it tells you exactly where it is. You don't have to search. You just go straight to the shelf.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. But now what about that O-N on the other side of the spectrum?
Yeah, so...
That one sounds a little...
That one's a little scarier.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad time. Why is that one so bad?
So algorithms with that O-N complexity, they're like trying to plan a road trip. But you have to visit every single city in the entire United States...
Oh, no.
...before you're allowed to go home.
That's a lot of driving.
Right. Even with the, you know, best route planner in the world, that's going to take a really long time. And that's essentially what these types of algorithms do. Mm-hmm. They have to check every single possible arrangement or combination.
Mm.
And that number, it just explodes as your input grows.
Yeah.
So you want to try and avoid ON whenever possible.
Okay, duly noted. So we've got like our speed demon over here, O1, and then the traffic jam nightmare, ON. What about the ones in between? Wikipedia mentioned some interesting sounding ones like logarithmic time.
Yeah, yeah.
And even linearithmic time.
So those are kind of like those shortcuts you find on your road trip that make the whole thing way more enjoyable.
Okay.
Logarithmic time, or all log n, is awesome. Mm-hmm. Think about it like this. You're trying to find a word in the dictionary, right? Yeah. You're not going to flip through every single page until you find it.
No way. I'd use those alphabetical tabs to like skip to the right section.
Exactly. Algorithms with logarithmic time, they use a similar strategy. They keep breaking the problem down into smaller and smaller chunks, which makes them crazy fast, even for data sets that are just absolutely massive.
So it's like having a superpowered GPS for your data.
Yeah, you could say that. And a really classic example of that is the binary search algorithm.
Okay.
Super, super efficient, O log N.
This is making me really wish I paid more attention in my algorithms class back in college.
Yeah.
Okay, now what about linearithmic time? That one sounds kind of intimidating.
It's actually not as bad as it sounds. Linearithmic time, which you write as O-N log N, is still really good for a lot of tasks.
Okay.
Kind of like a nice balance between being fast and being like relatively simple to implement.
So when would I encounter an algorithm that has that O-N log N complexity?
So you'll see it a lot in sorting algorithms.
Okay.
Like merge sort.
Okay.
Which is used all the time to like organize these huge data sets. It's like having a super efficient way to sort a giant stack of mail.
Okay. It's all starting to click now. So like when you're choosing an algorithm for a specific thing, you basically want to shoot for the like the best big O notation you can get, right?
Yeah.
Like O1, obviously that would be amazing.
Of course.
But like O log N or O N log N are still really good.
Yeah, those are solid choices for sure.
And then like anything close to O N, you just kind of... You run away.
Yeah, you avoid it unless you really, really have to.
Unless there's absolutely no other option.
Exactly.
Got it. And that's the beauty of Big O notation. It gives us this common language, this shorthand, to talk about algorithms and their efficiency without getting bogged down in the specifics.
It doesn't matter what programming language you're using or like what kind of computer you're running it on. Mm-hmm. Big O gives you that shared understanding.
It's like having a universal translator for algorithm speed. Mm-hmm. Now, Wikipedia did mention that there's this whole like family of Big O related notations.
Right.
Is that something that, like, do we need to worry about those two?
I'd say think of those more like those extended family members you only see at, like, big family reunions.
Okay.
Interesting to chat with, but not someone you necessarily need to, like, invite to your birthday party every year.
Right, right. Gotcha.
Like, little O notation. That's one of them. Yeah. And that one's basically saying one algorithm is always going to be slower than another algorithm, no matter what.
So it's like the difference between saying this car is faster versus this car stuck in first gear. It's never going to be fast.
Exactly. And then there's omega notation.
Okay.
And that one gives you like a lower bound on an algorithm's growth. It's kind of like saying, you know, this algorithm is never going to be faster.
Okay. So it's a little more nuanced, but good to know about. Now, I am curious who came up with this whole system in the first place? Was this like a bunch of, I don't know, Silicon Valley programmers huddled over lines of code?
You might be surprised to learn that the roots of Big O notation, they actually go back like over a century.
What? Really?
There's some pretty old school mathematicians like Bachman, Landau, Hardy, people like that.
Wow.
They were working on number theory.
Oh, wow.
Not computer science.
So it's like they accidentally stumbled upon this like secret code that would like unlock the future of computers, but they had no idea.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, right? It goes to show that these like really fundamental math concepts, they have a way of popping up in unexpected places.
First.
And Big O notation is way more than just like a tool for computer scientists, you know? It's really a way of thinking about efficiency that you could apply in all sorts of fields, honestly.
So it's bigger than big tech.
Way bigger.
I love that. It makes you wonder, like, where else you could apply this whole idea of Big O? Like, what would the Big O notation be for, like, life itself?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a really interesting question to think about.
Right. Like, how would you even measure that?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
That's a deep thought for, like, a Tuesday afternoon.
It is. Maybe that's something our listeners can, like, ponder and
let
us know what you think. What is the Big O of life?
I love it. Okay. Well, I think we've definitely given everyone a lot to think about today with this deep dive into this whole world of Big O notation.
It's been really fun to explore.
Yeah. This was really cool. I learned a lot.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. This is one of those topics where like I'd heard of it and I kind of knew what it meant, but I never really like dove into it. So this has been really, really cool.
Yeah, it's one of those fundamental concepts that once you understand it, it kind of changes how you see the world of computer science and really just like efficiency in general.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this journey.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
And to everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. And until next time, happy coding.